I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I would like to read from the 10th Psalm and from the 30th Psalm and from the 16th Psalm. I want to read from all three of those Psalms. I want to read one verse from each of those Psalms. You have the same statement made in all three of those Psalms, and yet the same statement is made by three completely different categories of people. A lot of times it makes a big difference who's saying something as to what it really means. A lot of times it makes a big difference how you say something as to what you mean when you say those words. But I want to begin tonight by looking at Psalm 10 and the 6th verse. This is the wicked that's saying this expression here. And we'll come back and look at this in detail. But the wicked, in verse 6, the wicked, he hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Now, that's what the wicked man says. I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Now turn to Psalm 30. Psalm 30 in verse 6. You have a man that's full of prosperity here, a man that's been blessed financially, a man that has a lot of wealth, and that man is saying in verse 6, and in my prosperity, this is Psalm 30 and verse 6, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. So you have the wicked man saying, I shall not be moved. Then you have a prosperous man saying, I shall never be moved. Then you back up to Psalm 16. You have a godly man in Psalm 16, one that fears God and is trying to serve God. And he says basically the same words, but they have a completely different meaning. In Psalm 16, notice please verse 8, the righteous man has said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And I pray that God will help us to understand that probably there are times that we've been in all three of these categories. It's not like you're always in one category or another. But I hope that God will help us to think about those words, I shall not be moved, and think about what is meant by different people when they say, I shall not be moved. Before we begin to endeavor to study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to understand to some degree how weak and frail we are, that without Thee we can do nothing. But we're thankful also for the strength that comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that in our weakness that your strength is made perfect. And we can say with the Apostle Paul that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us every day of our lives, that when we wake up, that we would remember that it's God that has spared our lives through another night and the lives of our family and friends. And that as we begin to wake up, that you would remind us of our dependence upon Thee, that we would lay there in bed and pray, or that we'd get on the side of the bed on the floor on our knees and say, Lord, thank you for sparing our lives and thank you for your guidance and your help. We pray that you would be with us this day. We pray that all during the day that we would have a prayer on our hearts, that you would guide and direct our footsteps, and that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in thy sight. We ask thee, Lord, to give us wisdom in everything that we do. Pray that as we walk about our daily activities during this coming week, that your Spirit would guide us, and that we would do and say those things that would be right in your sight. Pray that you would grant favor to us, that you would bless us, not according to what we deserve, but bless us according to thy mercy and thy grace. We do beg thy blessings upon all those who have lost loved ones. We pray that thou, as the great physician who has all power, that thou would touch the bodies of those that are sick, that you would lift them up. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless those that are sick, that they might ever be found looking to thee, the author and finisher of their faith. Thou give them the strength and grace and courage to go forward in their service to thee in spite of all of their afflictions. We pray again now that you would help us all, you would guide and direct us and bless us as we try to study thy holy word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. For thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we ask you now to fill us with your Spirit as we try to study thy holy word. And may thy word be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. Bless us now and bless thy word. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm, we begin with Psalm 10. I want us to begin with the wicked man. The wicked man says, I shall not be moved. There are a lot of scriptures that ought to come to your mind whenever you hear somebody that's wicked, when you hear somebody in a proud, and in fact it says in this passage of scripture that it's a very proud man that's talking here. I want you to back up in Psalm 10, starting with the second verse. Psalm 10, beginning in verse 2, the Word of God says, the wicked in his what? In his pride. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. And then in verse 6 he says, He hath said, this wicked man that's full of pride in his heart, he hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Can you just picture the pride and the arrogancy of this individual? The Bible tells us in this passage of Scripture, it's not just a man that's just slipped a little bit and made a mistake in his pride in saying those things, but this is a man that despises the way of God, despises the Word of God, and the ways of God and the Word of God are far away from him. And the Word of God says that this proud man says in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Have you ever seen anybody like that? Somebody that just despised God, and it did sometimes look like. I have seen the wicked. I have seen individuals that were as wicked and ungodly as they could be. I have seen them prosper for a long time. In fact, I've seen people that have prospered in their wickedness all their lives. Have you ever seen that happen? Well, if you go home and read, I'm not going to do it tonight, but I encourage you to go home and read Psalm 73. And you'll find in Psalm 73 that the writer of that psalm, that he was very discouraged because he says, I see the wicked prospering in the world. I see people that are living very ungodly and they're not chastened of the Lord. And then that psalmist says, I'm chastened. When I do things wrong, God chastens me. And he says, I don't understand why the wicked are prospering in the world. And those that are godly, that they, when they do a little something wrong, that God chastens them. And then he says in that 73rd Psalm, then I went into the sanctuary of my God, and then I understood their end. Do you understand the wicked? Do you understand the end of the kind of wicked we're talking about? Now, I know that children of God sometimes are called wicked, but right here we're talking about wicked. I'm talking about wicked people that can live their entire lives in wickedness, and they are never chastened of the Lord. Do you know why they're not chastened? Because they are not God's children. The Word of God says, the Scripture says, whom the Lord loveth, he what? He chasteneth. Now, if you're a child of God and you do something that's wrong, you're going to be chastened of God. But if you're not a child of God, you can live your wicked life and you can persecute people and you can take advantage of people all your life and you will prosper in your wickedness and the judgments of God will not come on you in this world. However, you will spend eternity in hell. Do you understand that? Anybody who is not chastened of God when they do wrong in this world, if they're not chastened of the Lord, God will send them to eternal hell. But yet, while they're here, what do they say? I shall not be moved. Nobody can do anything about what I'm doing. Well, somebody is going to do something about what they're doing. You remember Pharaoh when Moses and Moses and Aaron that were sent to Pharaoh? Pharaoh, who was over all of Egypt, God sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh, and they said to Pharaoh, God said, let my people go that they may serve me. You remember them saying that? Let's back up and look at that. Back up in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 5, and let's look at what the Word of God says, because I want you to see that Pharaoh is an individual. As we look here in Exodus chapter 5, Pharaoh is a wicked man, and though he doesn't use the exact words, I shall not be moved, and a lot of other people don't use those exact words, I shall not be moved, yet by their actions and by their words, they are saying, I shall not be moved. And they're full of pride. What does the Bible say about anybody, whether you're a child of God or not? What does the Word of God say about those that are full of pride? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You get full of pride, I want you to know you're going to fall. It always happens to God's people. Pride, and it'll happen to the unregenerate in eternity. But pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So that proud man, that was a wicked man, that was full of pride, who said, I shall not be moved, that man was going to fall. Either in this life, if he's a child of God, or in the life hereafter, if he's not a child of God. Look at Exodus chapter 5. Let's listen to Moses and Aaron as they went in to Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 5, notice verses 1 and 2. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now, if a man comes to you and says, God said something, let me just pause right here. This was before they had the Word of God. Do all of you understand that? This is before they had the Bible. And so when somebody went and said, God told me to tell you something, they better listen very carefully to what the person said. They also had to do a lot of praying about whether it was really a message from the Lord. Now, we're a lot different today. There are people that can tell you, God told me to tell you something, but often, in fact, I would say most of the time that somebody tells you that God came to them and told them in a vision or told them in a dream to tell you something, most of the time what they tell you will be contradicting what God says in His Word. I'm just telling you, the way that you determine whether or not something is true today is not just by what you think or what you feel, but you have to judge what they say by the Word of God. And so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and says, the Lord has said that you're to let my people go, that they may go and serve me in the wilderness. Now listen to verse 2. I want you to listen to the response of Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh doesn't say the exact words, I shall not be moved. He doesn't say those exact words. But I want to see if you can hear that connotation in the words that he responds to Moses and Aaron. In Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? Now I've had people tell me the same thing. Not those exact words, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go. But I have had people tell me, I don't have to do what God says. Let me tell you something, brethren. When you say you don't have to do what God says, you better fasten your seatbelt. Because when you, it's like, Walker, what happened to the Titanic?
The people in the Titanic said God Himself cannot sink this ship, and then He really did.
Everybody hear him? The people on the Titanic, or the man who built the Titanic, said God Himself cannot sink this ship. And what did Walker say? God did sink that ship. He said, and I've heard him tell that story quite a bit because he's been taught that, and it's true. You better be careful when you start replying against God. You better be careful when you think you don't have to do what God says. You better be careful when you say, I shall not be moved. Isn't that what the builder of the Titanic was saying when he says, God Himself cannot sink this ship. He was saying, this ship can't be moved. This ship can't sink. God can't do it. I'll tell you, brethren, God can do anything. God, anytime God's people begin to get lifted up in vain pride, and they begin to say, I shall not be moved, or the wicked say, I shall not be moved, telling you God is on His throne, and God just has to speak the words, and down they will go. Me, you, or anybody else, God can bring them to nothing. Now, I don't want to dwell on the wicked man so much tonight as I want to get to the prosperous man. I think probably most of us fit this category. Now please listen carefully. God's people, and all of us, I believe everybody in this building, I believe we are prosperous. I'm not just talking about spiritually. We have a lot. You measure what you have by what previous generations have had in America. You go back 100 years in the United States of America and you look at the living conditions of the people in America 100 years ago. You look at what they had versus what we have today. We are blessed beyond measure. We are prospering in this world. I want you to tell you it is dangerous when God's people prosper. Because when God's people prosper, there is such a tendency for us, in our prosperity, there is a tendency for us to begin to forget how much we need God. There's a tendency for us, by our actions, in our hearts that we say, and though I don't believe there's a person here that would say, I'm rich, and I don't believe anything can happen to me. I don't think anybody here would say that out of your mouth. But I think that by our words and by our actions, we do sometimes in our prosperity, we say, I shall not be moved. In fact, I'll tell you, I know a preacher that when he began his ministry, he sold his house and he had a lot of money. It's me. I had a lot of money when I sold my house and entered the ministry. And as I was going around to different superintendents telling them that I was leaving my job and I was going to be a minister of the gospel, they told me, one of them in particular, the one I love the most, he said, Bill, just work, keep your job, and just preach on Sunday. But that's not the main point I wanted to get to. The main point I wanted to get to is, I told him this. I said, Dr. Christie, I said, I've just sold my house and I have enough money in the bank that I can make it for several years just on what I've got in the bank. And he says, you know that church you're going to is not going to be able to pay you near what you're... I said, I understand that, but I've got money in the bank and I'll be able to make it several years just on what I've got from the sale of my house and other... Now, do you understand what I was doing right there? Without realizing it, do you know what I was saying? In my prosperity, I was saying, I shall not be moved. Don't you worry about me, Dr. Christie. I've got enough money in the bank. I'll be able to make it several years, even if the church doesn't give me anything. I've got enough to make it. I'm telling you, brethren, it wasn't but 4 months later that my son got sick, and over the next 8 months, we spent every penny we had in the bank. We sold everything we had of any value, and still we owed over $10,000 in medical bills. In an 8 month period of time, we lost it all, brethren. What I thought was there and plenty to last for years, I saw it all come to nothing. In my prosperity, what did I say? Though I didn't say these exact words, I shall not be moved. By my actions, I was saying, I have enough to take care of me and my family. The fact was, I did not have enough to take care of me and my family, and you do not have enough tonight, and I don't have enough tonight to take care of me and my family one day if God blows upon it.
That's right.
I'm telling you, brethren, we don't have enough. No. You can't get enough. No. We're dependent on God every day. Don't you ever let our prosperity, though it is a tendency and it's a problem that we all have to work with, that we have to continuously guard ourselves and pray, God, keep us humble. Don't let our prosperity cause us to get lifted up in vain pride. Don't let our prosperity as a nation. Do you think the United States of America is a prosperous nation? Do you think that we can handle any other country on this earth? I'm telling you, God could take a little bitty country that doesn't amount to a hill of beans and bring America to its knees. In our prosperity, we're in great danger, because in our prosperity, sometimes we trust in our prosperity and we say, I shall not be moved. And when we say that, we're on the verge of being destroyed. God will bring His people to their knees when they, in their prosperity, when they say, I shall not be moved. You remember Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, great king of Babylon. And that king said, look at this great kingdom. This is in Daniel chapter 4. He says, look at this great kingdom which I have built by my might. And he was lifted up in vain pride, and in the very hour that he spoke those words, God... Now what was he saying right there when he says, look at this great kingdom which I have built by my might and with my power? He was glorying in his what? Prosperity. Now, I'll tell you upon the authority of God's Word, and I'll be glad to show you this later, Nebuchadnezzar was a child of God. Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar had already been with God. It was because Nebuchadnezzar walked with God. It was because of Nebuchadnezzar's fear of God that God blessed him to be king of Babylon. God had lifted him up. And then in his prosperity, he forgot God. And he said, I shall not be moved. Look what I have. What did God do? God brought him down to nothing, and he lived as an animal. He lost his kingdom. You understand that? Do you understand the significance of that to us today? Brethren, there's a kingdom for God's people today, and God will cast you out of His kingdom in this world, just as He cast Nebuchadnezzar out of His kingdom. God's children can experience the kingdom of heaven while they live here on this earth, or we can experience a hell while we live here on this earth. And if I and you and we in our prosperity, if we think you don't even have to say it. You don't even have to say it. You don't even have to think these exact words in your mind, just by your actions. If you say, I shall not be moved. I've got enough. I can handle it. You shall be brought down. Nebuchadnezzar was brought down, lived as an animal for 7 years. My understanding of the Scriptures, it was 7 years. And then the Word of God says, that Nebuchadnezzar said, my understanding returned unto me. My understanding what? Returned unto me. Now, had he had understanding before?
Yes.
Had he lost that understanding? And now he says, my understanding returned unto me. And I bless the Most High God, who reigneth forever and ever. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Did that king learn he could be moved? Did that king learn that he could be brought down? In his prosperity he boasted, and in his prosperity he was brought down to nothing. And then when his understanding returned unto him, you think he ever, the rest of his life, you think he ever said, I'll not be moved? You think, no, I don't believe so. I tell you, sometimes, but he might have, because sometimes God brings me down and I think, I'll never forget this lesson. Have any of you ever been there where you thought, I'll never forget, God, I won't ever forget this lesson. I'm going to be good the rest of my life. I'm not going to mess up like this again. And you know, a year or two or 3 years down the road, what happens? Right back in the same mess. Brethren, if God were not merciful and gracious, there's not a one of us that would still be part of His church. Did you know that?
That's right.
If God were not merciful and gracious, there's not a one of us that would still be experiencing the blessings that God has. Because in our prosperity, by our actions, we often say, I shall not be moved. If you get up tomorrow morning and you begin your day without getting on your knees, or you don't have to get on your knees, but if you start your day without praying to God, do you know what you're doing when you start your day without praying to God? You're saying, in your health and in your prosperity, you know what you're saying? I shall not be moved. I don't need God's help today. If you begin your day without praying, you're headed for a fall. So this man in Where was I? Psalm 30. We didn't get to the man in his prosperity. I didn't read it again. But I want you to go back to Psalm 30. Psalm 30, that's what I want to talk about. We're talking about the man in his prosperity. In Psalm 30, I want you to notice verse 6. Psalm 30 and verse 6. The Scripture says, and this is what I've been trying to talk about the last few minutes, is, "And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved." Have you ever done that? You ever been there? You ever found out you could be moved and you could be brought down to nothing? Now, I want us in closing to go to Psalm 16. Back up to Psalm 16. The first one we looked at was what kind of man that said, "I shall not be moved." What kind of man was it? It was a wicked man. Second man that we looked at was, the Bible says that he was a what? Prosperous man. Now, the third man I want us to look at is a righteous man. And I know that the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And there's a sense in which that's true. But there's also a sense in which the Word of God says a man can be righteous. Does not mean he's absolutely perfect, but there is a righteousness we can attain when we follow the teachings and commandments of God. Now, when you think you're righteous, you've just messed up and you're no longer righteous. When you think you're humble, you've just messed up, you're no longer humble. Listen now, in Psalm 16, we'll close with this last man, who in Psalm 16, the Word of God, listen to what Psalm 16, verse 8 says. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, "I have set the Lord always before me." Boy, isn't that wonderful? Get up in the morning, what's the first thing he did? "I set the Lord before me." He sat down to a meal, what did he do? "I set the Lord before me." He started a job. He began a day's work. What did he do? "I set the Lord before me." In all thy ways, what does God say in Proverbs 3? "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Lean not to thine own understanding." Listen, brethren, this man that we're looking at in Psalm 16:8 is a man that fears God. He knows the power of God. He knows his own weakness. And that's the reason he says here, "I have set the Lord always before me." Every day I set the Lord before me. He doesn't mean he picks him up like a little idol. He's saying, God is foremost in my heart and in my mind. Psalm 16, verse 8, he says, "I have set the Lord always before me." And then he says this, he says, "Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Now I want you to hear why he can say, "I shall not be moved." Why can he say that? He can say, "I shall not be moved because God is my strength." That's what he's saying. Because the Lord is at my right hand, that's the reason I can say, "I shall not be moved." I want to ask you this question. Is there anything and any way, is there any way that you can say tonight, "I shall not be moved"? Well, I want to tell you two or three ways you can say, "I shall not be moved." Listen carefully. Go ahead, Sister Jane. Give me one. Yes. Thank you, Sister Jane. The Word of God says in Sister Jane, what Sister Jane said was heaven, as far as eternity is concerned. Is that secure? Listen, if you're worried about eternal heaven, you don't know that you're saved if you don't have that assurance in your heart that you're among the redeemed family of God. Do you know why I have no fear of eternal hell? It's because of what God has done for me. Amen. Listen, brethren, you know what the Apostle Paul said? Paul said, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." Now, was that something he knew that could not be moved? Was that something he knew, that nobody could take anybody out of the hand of God? Did Paul know that there was nothing that could separate us from the love of God? Yes. Why? Because he held on to God so good? No! Not because he held on to God, but because God held on to him. Amen. And that's the reason Jesus says in John chapter 10, he says that we're in his hand and we're in the hand of the Father. I'll tell you, brethren, the devil and all of his angels cannot move us out of the hand of God. Why? Why can you not be moved out of the hand of God? It's because of the power of God, that you cannot be moved. Your eternal security is something you need to thank God for, that you cannot be moved. In fact, God says this in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. God says, "Because I change not, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Well, I tell you, brethren, if God changed, He'd change His mind about me. But God cannot change. Everybody follow that? Let me also say that no matter what you have to face in your life, no matter what your troubles and problems are in life, if God is at your right hand, you shall not be moved. You may have to go through financial poverty. You may have to go through sickness worse than anything you could ever imagine. You may have to go through the kind of suffering that Job did in his life. And do you know what Job did in the middle of all that suffering? You know what Job did? Job made this statement. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." I'll tell you, the devil could bring all his armies, all his angels against Job. And Job continued to say, "I know that in my flesh I shall see God." Amen. He wouldn't be moved from his confidence. I want you to listen carefully. If I stop right there, you might misunderstand me.
That's right.
He could not be moved from his confidence in God. Now, if it was left up to his strength, he could be moved. But if it was left up to the power of God, he could not be moved. May God help us to realize there's a sense in which we can say, "I shall not be moved." May God help us to rejoice in that truth, is my prayer for Christ's sake.